Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Royal Commandment, as we pick up in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
1 Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. And the Greek word is the royal commandment of God. It's a word that is used when a king had made a decree. It is interesting that Paul so often introduces himself as an apostle by the will of God. But here he declares he is an apostle by the commandment of God. The word apostle is one who has been sent out, an idea of an emissary or an ambassador. And that's exactly what Paul saw himself as, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, one whom the Lord had sent out to represent him in an alien country. We're in a world that's alien to God, but we are God's representatives here. We are here to represent God on this alien planet. And so Paul, one who has been sent out by the royal decree, by the commandment of God, our Savior. Now, there is quite a bit of Old Testament root in the idea of God our salvation. David mentions it in the Psalms. Moses mentions it in Deuteronomy. Mary in the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God, our Savior. And so here's the first time that Paul uses the phrase or the term, God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Timothy lived in Lystra, a city that Paul visited in his first missionary journey. It is thought that Paul perhaps stayed in the house of Timothy on his first missionary journey. He knew his mother and grandmother. He knew how they had instructed Timothy in the word. He mentions Eunice and Lois. Timothy was just a very young boy in Paul's first journey to Lystra. But evidently at that time made a commitment of his life to Jesus Christ and always held Paul as sort of a hero. Fascinated by this man, he looked up to him. On Paul's second missionary journey, though Timothy was still very young, probably in his mid-teens, he at this time became a companion of Paul and journeyed with him in his missionary endeavors. And so he is listed in many of Paul's writings. He was sent by Paul to Thessalonica to discover the welfare of the church. He had visited many of these churches with Paul, was familiar with the people. Paul sent him to Philippi with a letter to the Philippians, And he said that he had no one who was like-minded as he was, as Timothy. I mean, Timothy was just joined with Paul in heart and in spirit, in calling, in vision. And so now Paul is writing to him and he addresses him as his son in the faith, my own son in the faith. And so there was this special relationship that existed between Paul and Timothy, like that of a father and son. And I believe that Paul saw in Timothy a tremendous potential for one to carry on the ministry once Paul was taken. And so he poured his life into Timothy. He discipled Timothy. And this is one of the two letters that he wrote to Timothy of instruction as a father to his son. So, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Now, in most of Paul's epistles, he says grace and peace. Two epistles, he adds mercy. This one to Timothy, and also his epistle to Titus, there is the addition of mercy. There is a difference between grace and mercy. Mercy is not getting what's coming to us. God is merciful. The Bible says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so high is God's mercy towards those that fear him. God is very merciful. And though we deserve the judgment of God, God is merciful. And though I have no argument that Hollywood and that area of Los Angeles doesn't deserve the judgment. I believe it does deserve the judgment of God, but God is merciful. I think that God would be totally just in wiping out San Francisco, Hollywood, and a lot of these areas. But God is merciful. We don't get what we deserve. And, of course, if I got what I deserve, God would wipe me out too. So who am I to talk about San Francisco or Hollywood? God is merciful. He does not reward us according to our iniquities. Grace is a positive characteristic of God. Mercy is sort of a negative characteristic in that you don't get what's coming to you. Grace is a positive characteristic, that is, getting what you don't deserve. I don't deserve all of the goodness of God. I don't deserve all of the blessings of God. I don't deserve all that God has done for me, but that's grace. God doing for me what I don't deserve, what I couldn't earn, what I don't and haven't merited. God just pouring out upon me the richness of his love and his goodness and his blessings. That's grace. And realizing that grace of God towards me, my spirit rest, and thus I have the peace. So grace, mercy, and peace. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So Paul was called of God to come over to Macedonia. Timothy was with him, but Paul felt a necessity to send him back to Ephesus to instruct the church there. And though he was a young man, Paul encouraged him, don't let anybody despise your youth. Be an example unto the believer. And so I sent you back to Ephesus that you might charge those that they not teach any other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which only create questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. Now, the end of the commandment, or the effect, the sum total of the commandments of God, is love out of a pure heart. A lawyer one day asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. So that's what Paul is saying. Really, the summation of the commandments is loving out of a pure heart. That's what it's all about. If I'm really following the commandments, that will be the effect, this loving out of a pure heart. How God does want us to just have this deep love for one another. That's if you want to sum up all of the commandments, it's summed up in that loving. Loving God and loving one another. That's what it's all about. That's what God desires of us. Loving with a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned, or a true faith. A good conscience, love. What great characteristics to possess. Loving from a pure heart, just a good conscience. Paul said, I have a conscience void of offense towards God. And then faith that is true, unfeigned. Now, some have turned away from this, Paul said. And they've turned aside to vain jangling, desiring to be the teachers of the law, but they don't understand what they are saying, nor the things that they affirm. Now, Paul is warning against endless genealogies, questions that only create confusion or disputes. There are honest questions and there are dishonest questions. There are some people who ask questions only because they want an argument. They don't want to know the truth. They have a position that they want to espouse. So they want to get you embroiled in an argument. And so they will ask a question, not really seeking an answer, but seeking an argument. They want you to state your position so that they can then begin to attack your position. That I call a dishonest question. An honest question is the man who asks desiring to know the answer. Now, I personally do not have any time for dishonest questions. And I'll tell you, I've got the gift of discernment when it comes to questions. Of course, I know that certain groups have certain questions. And when someone comes up and they have the stock questions that they ask, I know exactly where they're coming from. And sometimes I treat them rather abruptly. And people standing around said, oh, that poor brother wanted to know. I said, he didn't want to know anything. He wanted to argue. I don't want to argue Scripture. I don't think that anything is gained from arguing Scripture. Trading verses. And so Paul is saying, avoid these things. Tell the people to avoid these fables, endless genealogies, questions that are designed. That isn't where it's at. Our purpose should be to build up one another, not to cut at one another, tear down one another, challenge one another. But the true purpose is to build up one another. And these people, he said, they desire to be teachers and they speak with great authority. But they don't know what they're talking about. A lot of times when you don't know what you're talking about, it's important that you speak with authority. I read of a minister who had his sermon all outlined, but then he had little notes of gestures that should be used at particular points in the sermon. And so at this particular point, it says, extend your arm outward, opening up your palm, you know, to the people. And so these vivid type gestures, and he had all of his notes all the way down, how he was to gesture, where he was to look, when he was to smile, and so forth. And the whole thing was all programmed out for him. Well, they do that. But down on the page, it said, at this point, yell like everything because it's a weak point. And sometimes you know, when our point is weak, we got to yell it. We've got to speak with authority. But he said they really desire to be teachers, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know the things that they are affirming to be so. These people were, again, trying to bring the people back under the law. And so Paul said, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Don't have any argument with the law. But then Paul comes in and he said, but we know this. The law was not made for a righteous man. An interesting point. You see, a righteous man doesn't need any law. A man who lives by good principles doesn't need laws. You don't have to tell that man what he should do and shouldn't do. He does them because he is a righteous man. He is a principled man. The law is for unprincipled people. And there are a lot of those in the world. And thus, we need laws to keep them in check. In Romans, Paul said, the law is not a terror to a good person. It's only the terror to the evil person. You shouldn't be terrified when you see a policeman unless you're a bank robber or something. You see, if you're guilty of violating the law, then the law becomes something that you're frightened of, something that you dislike. But if you're an honest, upright, principled citizen, you appreciate the law. You appreciate those who are enforcing the law because they're making it possible for you to live in this area. And if it weren't for the law and those who are enforcing the law, we would be living in an intolerable condition. Because there are those out there who need that kind of a bridle. So, you want to be taught the law? You want the law? Paul says all this. I'll tell you who the law is for. It's not for righteous people. They don't need to be taught the law. They don't need to be put under the law. But the law is for the lawless, the disobedient, the ungodly, the sinner, for unholy and profane people, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, or for the homosexuals, for the men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be anything that is contrary to sound doctrine, those are the people who the law is for. So you want us to teach the law? Well, what problem do you have, brother? You see, the law isn't for righteous people. We don't have to be rehearsing the law if we live by righteous principles. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, Paul says, rather than teaching and preaching the law, we are teaching and preaching the glorious gospel, the good news of God. The law is bad news for the people to whom it was sent, because it is a restricting thing, a condemning thing, the lawless. But rather than preaching the law, we preach the glorious good news, the gospel of the blessed God, which Paul said was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now, Paul says of the ministry that he was enabled by the Lord. God isn't really looking for ability. Though so often, when we are looking for someone to fill a position within the church or whatever, we get out the resumes and we look for the graduated magna cum laude, you know, and we're looking for the most talented individual. God doesn't. God looks for the most available individual, and then he enables them to do the work that he would have done. And quite often, the choices of God are shocking to us. You know, it's sort of an interesting thing. He says, you know, God counted him faithful, put him in the ministry. And, of course, a steward is required that he be faithful. So God's looking for someone who's available, someone who will be faithful. Years ago, when we started Calvary Chapel, from the very beginning, it seems that God began to bless this group of people that had gathered together. It was definitely something that was ordained of God and born of the Spirit and born of prayer. And we began to have just an immediate move of God, and God began to add people almost immediately. Of course, we started with about 25 the first Sunday. And before long, we were running 50. And within a year or so, we were running 100. And there were a lot of other small churches in Costa Mesa at that time. And they began to observe what God was doing at Calvary Chapel. And some of the ministers at that time publicly said to their congregations, if God can do it for Chuck Smith, he can do it for us. I liked that. I understood why it is that God chose me to encourage others. For if God can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. And he used that to encourage a lot of the pastors at that time. So Paul the Apostle said that the Lord enabled me. He counted me faithful. He put me in the ministry. I'm thankful for this. He committed to my trust the glorious gospel of the blessed God.
Pastor Chuck Smith once said, "Charisma is the natural anointing of God's Spirit, enabling a person to do the work of God. Charismania is a fleshly attempt to imitate that work, human effort replacing the power of the Spirit." In his powerful book, Charisma versus Charismania, Pastor Chuck addresses the confusion surrounding the gifts of the Holy Spirit in today's church. With biblical clarity and pastoral wisdom, he affirms the life and power the Holy Spirit brings, while warning against elevating experience above the authority of Scripture. Without a solid foundation in God's Word, believers become vulnerable to deception. Experience must never replace Scripture, and doctrine should never be built on experience alone. This insightful resource explores the true person and work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the church, and the world, calling us back to discernment, humility, and Christ-centered faith. Discover the difference between true spiritual power and imitation. Order Charisma versus Charismania today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD. Charisma versus Charismania. Truth, balance, and the Spirit's work according to God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and watch over you during the week. May your love and commitment to God grow day by day. And may we each one consider what we are giving to God and how we give it, that we might render unto God that which is pleasing and acceptable in his sight, of our time, of our service, of our abilities, of our substance. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 1 Timothy on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources. resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 1 Timothy 1. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.